You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
The 126-year-old Maison Joseph Drouin is one of the most prestigious wine producers in all of Burgundy. Since 1957, it's been run by Robert Drouin, who took over when he was just 24, not long after he'd been discharged from the French Foreign Legion. He joins me now, along with his daughter Veronique, a trained enologist who oversees the company's winemaking operation in Oregon, and I'm very pleased to welcome them both to my show today. Now, the wine firm itself dates back to the 1750s, but it was something else then? When did it come into the Drouin hands?
In 1880, when Joseph Drouin, my great-grandfather and my father's grandfather, came down to Beaune and bought this existing company and gave it his name.
Mm. And at that time, it was just a place where you bought grapes from other people and made wines?
Yes, it was a very small company in those days, and it's really after World War One that my father, Maurice Drouin, started developing the estate in the Côte de Beaune, in the Beaune area, and so on.
He's really your uncle, isn't he? Your parents died when you were young,
adopted you? You know all the secrets, yes. Joseph Drouin is my grandfather, had two children. The daughter married a doctor, and I'm their son, but they passed away when I was very young. My uncle, Maurice Drouin, had no children, and adopted me later on. So I have a double filiation to Joseph Drouin.
Often no one in the third generation wants to go into the family business, and you studied law and then later German and comparative literature. So were you thinking of doing something other than being in the wine business?
I think it gradually came as quite natural when I realized what a fantastic opportunity it was. And gradually also I learned about the multiple aspects of Burgundy. You know, it's not only a drink, not only a beverage. You have all the viticultural aspect, the enological aspect, and then the cultural aspect around it. We are continuously, passionate with history, with the past. So I read books about tradition, and so it became as obvious that I should take over.
And you're located in Beaune, where there's the famous Hospice de Beaune, a medieval hospital that was built during the plague years and has one of the great masterpieces of arts by Roger van der Weyden. So you have a lot more than just a wine culture that you live with. And also, I understand you have cellars that go back to the 13th century.
Yeah, we certainly live continuously with the past. The cellars were owned by the Dukes of Burgundy, by the Kings of France, have been classified historical monuments. Some were built in 1250 and later on.
And you put your wines down there?
Yes, we still use them. They are good. And, you know, when I go down in the cellars, I go there every day. I always have the same pleasure looking at the architecture.
Veronique, has it always been your ambition to carry on in the family business?
When I was 10 years old, I kind of realized this a woman could also be involved in the business, because I was surrounded by men, and I have three brothers, and it was like not necessarily something I would do because it was mostly men. But in 72, when I just turned 10 years old, Robert hired a woman to be the winemaker, and it kind of opened my eyes. I could do this too. So then it kind of stayed in the back of my head.
And now there are more and more women making wine around the world.
Yes, more and more, and I must say a very talented person.
Now, I understand that you have some Chardonnay and Pinot Noir plantings that were initiated in the 13th century by the monks in Burgundy's monasteries. Can you still make wine from vines that are that old?
Well, they are not the original vines. They are their great, great, great grandchildren.
But it's like the family business of vines as well.
Yes, but they have retained all the genetic heritage, and we try and contribute to maintaining this. And as I said, one has to continuously look at the past to try and find out what were the good habits, sometimes what were the bad habits, and progress further.
Well, I've heard that you made a portion of your 2005 harvest of one of your most famous wines, the Clos de Mouche Blanc, in an ancient wine press because you wanted to understand about those practices of the past. What is this something that just was sitting around the winery?
Well, we are fortunate to have this very old winery and very old press built there in 1570. So I think there is always something emotional and rational in such an approach. It's great fun, great pleasure to make wine on such a very old press, try and really and make it the old way, forgetting about our science. And at the same time, the experiment is the wine we produce nowadays as good as the wine which was produced in the past.
Well, what did you find out? Because it's a lot less sanitary, isn't it, the old method? So bacteria would affect the wine.
It's a good question. The answer is probably that that there were many, many poor wines in the past, but when the wines were good, when they were successful, then it was really fantastic.
In ways that a modern wine would not be?
The big risk for the modern wines is to be standardized, is to be consistent in style, in quality. And we try and produce unique wines which are recognizable as such and may vary from one year to another.
I'm talking with two members of one of the world's greatest winemaking families, Robert Drouin, who took over the Maison Joseph Drouin in 1957, when he probably was not really feeling ready to take over a big business at the age of 24, and his daughter Véronique Drouin, who now is running the wine operation in Oregon. Didn't Maurice, your grandfather, say that Drouin should concentrate just on Burgundy? So how did the family come to establish an operation in Dundee, Oregon?
It's sort of a long story, but to make it short, Robert's first visit to Oregon was in 61, so way before anyone had planted vineyards. In the Willamette Valley. And he was amazed how similar to the Côte d'Or shape the Willamette Valley was. And then later on, when I studied enology, you know, my generation is very lucky to travel. So I had been to Bordeaux to know the other great region in France. And I asked him if he could find me a place in California to go and train. And he said, well, if I were you, I would go to Oregon. It seems to be a great place for Pinot, because in 1980, a very nice Pinot Noir from Oregon had done very well in the tasting. So I went to Oregon, and we made friends, and I think they realized that if a famous Burgundy producer would invest in Oregon, it would be bringing credit to the place.
And it's worked out that way.
And it worked that way. Originally, we were not really sure that we wanted to do that, but they kind of encouraged us, and we did it.
Well, you studied enology at the University of Dijon in Burgundy, so is that real good preparation for then making wines in the American Northwest? Is Burgundy, which is in eastern France, like the American Northwest?
It's very similar in many ways, the climate being the number one reason we chose Oregon versus California or any other place. There's a main difference is the soil. So we didn't know exactly what to expect. We knew we would need to do some viticulture, to adapt the viticulture to Oregon. But it's true that the two regions have a lot in common.
And you grow the same kinds of grapes, the Burgundy grapes, Chardonnay and Pinot Noir, helped, I imagine, by the fact that Sideways was such a big hit and suddenly everybody in America wanted to drink Pinot Noir. But can you employ the same sorts of vineyard practices there? Because you, in Burgundy, Robert, haven't you really developed an organic approach to winemaking?
Yes, first of all, I would point out that there is nowadays a continuous exchange of experience between, say, the New World and our Europe. And American growers have learned a lot from French growers and vice versa. So it's fascinating. And now the generation of my children, more than my own generation and myself, is very ecology conscious. They want to protect the environment, to maintain the typicity of the soil and so on. And for a good 15 years now, my son Philippe, Véronique's brother, has been cultivating the vineyard the organic way.
This is the way they grew it in the old days anyway, so this is a return to tradition before everybody started using artificial fertilizers and weed killers and the like.
Exactly. It's financially more of a risk, but it's well worth doing it.
Véronique, you've been described as a guardian of Maison Joseph Drouin's style. Is there a house style?
How would
you describe it?
In a few words, typicity of the terroir, meaning where the grapes come from, the elegance of the variety, Pinot Noir, which is not the easiest grape variety to grow, but when it does well, it's the most refined, or one of the most refined variety.
Why isn't it easy to grow? Is it vulnerable to weather?
Yes, we grow them in a cool climate, so we may struggle with some weather changes, and Pinot is quickly affected by rot or any disease.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And so the style is described as a little more elegant, refined, you say. You also don't use a lot of oak, which has been very popular in the international style today. Robert, haven't you joked, we're not carpenters?
Yes, but I don't deny the use of oak. New oak is good for fermentation of wine, but one has to be very careful not to impart any character to the wine. One should not hide the true character of the wine with oak. It's all a question of balance.
Readers of a book that was quite popular called Wine and War will remember the Drouin cellars where... how old were you at the time that the Nazis came in?
Oh, I was around 10. I remember well when we stayed in the cellars at night, being afraid of bombs. When the Germans came, when they left, there are many interesting stories. Life was not difficult for us as children. It was probably more for our parents, and particularly for my father, who... was so much of an American friend that the Germans thought they may not... he was not too much in favor of their victory.
They thought that he was supporting the resistance. And I'm sure they also wanted to come in and get a couple of more bottles of wine than you would have liked. You're described as semi-retired. What does that really mean?
Well, it means that I have stepped aside... I have not been pushed out by my children. I've stepped aside and kept the nice part of this business, what I like, tasting every day, going through the vineyards to supervise, discuss with my son Philippe, and look at the past to see what's good, what may not have been good.
And Véronique, how much time do you spend in Oregon? How much time back home?
About 2.5 months in Oregon, not at one time. So 1 month for harvest to make the wine, and then on a regular basis to work on the wine and do the blend and the bottling. But my children are in Burgundy, so that's where I live.
And the Maison Joseph Drouin has something like 100 different wines, doesn't it?
Well,
it's an awful lot.
Burgundy has multiple appellations, villages, clos areas. So... if we want to be a representative of Burgundy, our estate has to spread over all these villages, first growth, Grand Cru, and we are fortunate to own many of them.
And we thank you both so much for being with us, Robert Drouin and Véronique Drouin of Maison Joseph Drouin. What a pleasure.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you to you.